Chapter 4. Two soldiers, a pole, and a hat. Having set up the pole and cap in the field, Gessler sent two of his guards, Freishardt. I think you would be safe if you pronounce this Freishardt, but you had better ask a Swiss person. And Luthold, to keep watch there all day and make sure that nobody passed by without bowing down before the pole and taking off his hat to it. But the people, who were proud of being able to solve any problem, had already found a way around this rule. They knew that if they walked across the field, they must bow down before the pole, which they did not want to do. It occurred to them that an ingenious way of preventing this would be not to cross the field, so they went the long way around, and the two soldiers had a lonely day.
"What I say is," said Freishardt, "what's the point of us wasting our time here? None of these people are going to bow down to that hat. Of course they aren't. I can remember the time when this field was so crowded it was like a fair. Everybody pushing and shoving one another for space. And look at it now. It's a desert. What's the point of us wasting our time here? That's what I say." "And they're clever, too," he continued. "Just this morning I said to myself, just wait until 12 o'clock when they leave the office, and then they'll have to cross the field. So I waited, and at 12 o'clock out they came, dozens of them, and they began to cross the field. And now, I said to myself, here comes trouble. But what happened? When they came to the pole, the priest stood in front of it, and they all fell down on their knees, but they were saying their prayers, not bowing to the hat. They're clever." And Freishardt kicked the base of the pole viciously with his iron boot. "It's my belief," said Luthold, "that they are laughing at us. Listen to that." A voice came from behind a rock not far off. "Where did you get that hat?" said the voice.
"There," complained Luthold. "They're always at it. We're the laughing stock of the place. To order people to worship a hat is simply stupid."
"Well," said Freishardt, "why not bow before an empty hat? We've often bowed down before Gessler's empty head. Ha ha."
"Here come some people," said Luthold. "At last. They're only lowly folks. The better sort of people don't come around here."
A crowd was beginning to gather on the edge of the field. Its numbers swelled every minute, until about 100 common people must have been there. They stood pointing at the pole and talking among themselves, but nobody made any move to cross the field. At last, somebody shouted, "Ha!" The soldiers paid them no attention. Somebody else yelled, "Boo!"
"Move along there, move along," said the soldiers.
Shouts of,
"Where did you get that hat?"
began to come from the middle of the crowd. When the Swiss invented a good line, they were not in a hurry to find a new one.
"Where did you get that hat?"
they shouted. Freishardt and Luthold stood perfectly still, paying no attention to the remarks of the crowd. This annoyed the crowd, so they began to get more personal.
"Hey, you in the rusty soup can!" shouted one.
He was referring to Freishardt's suit of armor, which, though it was no longer new, still did not deserve this description.
"Why aren't you worshipping the hat?"
"Can't you see," shouted a friend when Freishardt didn't reply,
"that the poor soup can can't hear. He's deaf."
The crowd laughed loudly, and Freishardt, despite the fact that he enjoyed jokes, turned bright red.
"He's embarrassed," screamed a voice with delight.
Freishardt turned purple. Things became more exciting.
"Hey," said a rough voice in the crowd impatiently. "What's the point of talking to them? Give me that egg to throw."
And in another instant, an egg flew across the field and broke on Luthold's shoulder. The crowd screamed with delight. This was fun, they thought. And in an instant, eggs, tomatoes, cats, and objects of every sort flew across the field so thickly that they made the sky go dark. The two soldiers shouted at the crowd, but did not have the nerve to leave their post. At last, just as the storm of objects was at its height, it ceased, as if by magic. Everyone in the crowd turned around, and when they saw what was behind them, they jumped into the air and waved their hats,
A booming cheer erupted from the crowd.
"Hooray!" the crowd shouted. "Here comes good old Tell! Now things are going to get interesting!"
Tell came striding toward the crowd with Walter by his side and his crossbow on his shoulder. He didn't know a thing about the hat having been placed on the pole, and he was surprised to see such a large crowd gathered in the field. He bowed to the crowd in his polite way, and the crowd gave him 3 cheers, so he bowed again.
"Hey," said Walter suddenly, "look at that hat up there on the pole, Father."
"What does that hat have to do with us?" said Tell, and he began to walk across the field with an air of great dignity, with Walter walking by his side, trying to look just like him.
"Hey, you!" shouted the soldiers. "Stop! You haven't bowed down to the hat."
Tell looked scornful, but said nothing. Walter looked even more scornful.
"You there!" shouted Friesshardt, standing in front of Tell. "Stop in the Emperor's name!"
"Listen here, my friend," said Tell. "Please do not bother me. I am in a hurry, and I really have nothing to say to you."
"My orders are," said Friesshardt, "to stand in this field and be sure that anyone who passes through it bows down to that hat. Those are the governor's orders, so bow."
"My friend," said Tell, "let me go past. I will get across this field one way or another. I am sure of it." Shouts of encouragement issued from the crowd, which was waiting patiently for the trouble to begin.
"Come on, Tell," they cried. "Don't stand there talking to him. Hit him."
Friesshardt was becoming angrier by the minute.
"My orders are," he said again, "to arrest those who don't bow down to the hat. And if you don't hurry up and bow down, young man, I'll arrest you. So which will it be? Either you bow down to that hat or you come along with me."
Tell pushed him aside and walked past him with his chin in the air. Walter went with him, with his chin in the air.
Whack!
A cry of dismay went up from the crowd as they saw Friesshardt raise his spear and bring it down with all his strength on Tell's head. The sound of the blow echoed through the fields, up the hills, and down the valleys.
"Ow!"
cried Tell.
"Now,"
thought the crowd, "things will begin to get exciting." Tell's first thought was that one of the larger mountains in the neighborhood had fallen on top of him. Then he thought that there must have been an earthquake, but it gradually dawned upon him that he had been hit by a mere common soldier with a spear. Then he got angry.
"Listen here," he began. "No, you listen and bow," said Friesshardt to Tell, pointing to the cap. "You've hurt my head considerably," said Tell. "Feel this bump. If I hadn't happened to have been born with a particularly hard head, I don't know what might have happened."
Tell raised his fist and punched Friesshardt, but because Friesshardt was wearing a thick iron helmet, the blow did not hurt him very much. However, this did have the effect of bringing the crowd to Tell's assistance. They had been waiting all this time for him to begin the fighting because, although they were very anxious to attack the soldiers, they did not want to do so by themselves. They wanted a leader to start things. So when they saw Tell hit Friesshardt, they rolled up their sleeves, grabbed their sticks and bats more tightly, and began to run across the field toward him. Neither of the soldiers noticed this. Friesshardt was busy arguing with Tell, and Luthold was laughing at Friesshardt. So when the people came milling up with their sticks and bats, they were taken by surprise. Every soldier in the service of Gessler was as brave as a lion. However, so Friesshardt and Luthold were soon hitting back with enthusiasm and making many people in the crowd wish that they had stayed at home. The two soldiers were wearing armor, of course, so that it was difficult to hurt them. But the people in the crowd, who wore no armor, found that they could get hurt very easily. Conrad Hun, for example, was attacking Friesshardt when the soldier accidentally dropped his spear. It fell on Conrad's toe, and Conrad limped away, feeling that fighting was no fun unless you had thick boots on. And so, for a while, the soldiers had the upper hand.